So as I mentioned, today is the exaltation of the cross, the triumph of the cross, commemorating these historical events in history where Christians realize the great gift. And that's why we place the cross prominently in our churches. And you're invited to have a cross prominent in your home to remind us that when Jesus is lifted up, he's lifted up to save us. And so we have that reminder that in the seeming failure of the Son of God, that he creates a solution for all of our real failures. The apparent failure of the Son of God is the victory in the face of our own failures. So, in this homily, I'm starting a three-part homily series. And this three-part homily series is along the lines of this arc I've been preaching for the last year, every month or so, about this vision I'm proposing for the parish. And this vision I'm proposing is a place, is a destination where I believe the Lord's inviting us to be more intentional, to not take our faith for granted, to receive, to be transformed, and then to offer to the world what God has given to us. And so, but in this three-part homily series, I'm looking at one practice in our Catholic faith that we take for granted, or we have a limited view of it, and looking at how may God be inviting us to take this one practice and make it mission. Acknowledging that this is a common practice that most of us, we look for self-improvement, which is not a bad thing. But I'm looking to build on that, okay? What is the practice? Fasting. Now, to show you how ubiquitous this practice is, it's not just a Catholic practice. How many of you in the last 5 months have heard someone, or perhaps yourself, talk about intermittent fasting? Show of hands. Yeah. All right. Hands down. So keep in mind, in the last 5 months, we've been out of Lent that entire time. Okay? It's interesting that more and more just people are talking about this, intermittent fasting, and all these other things, right? There's an awareness of benefit of fasting. But what I propose to you is to go beyond what we typically think of the benefits, spiritual benefits. And how can we make this practice mission? So I'm going to look at this for 3 weeks. So today, we're going to look at fasting related to the three readings. And this is going to be part, you know, the kind of self-improvement aspect, the spiritual benefit, but part of it's also going to be the mission side, okay? Looking at fasting from the three readings. Okay, now, from the first reading, I would suggest this is a reminder of, yes, like, fasting has a spiritual, personal benefit. And so, like, why would we reserve this for only, by the way, there are only two times the church invites you to join in the family fast. 2 days of the year where the church is saying, look, these are family fast days. Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. They're the only 2 days. Yes, you have days of abstinence from meat and Lent, but only 2 days that are truly a fast, all right? So, in a sense, this is an underutilized spiritual practice. We can take it outside of Lent. You can. Okay, but why? Personal spiritual benefit. Fasting reorients your ship, the ship of your life. Okay, in your humanity, you have different kind of spiritual, psychological components of your humanity. You have your physical, which is obvious enough. But then you have these other aspects, your intellect, your will, and your desires, the passions, okay? Now, in God's plan, God gave you a share in his divine intellect by your intelligence. You're being able to see a higher order, a higher purpose, wisdom, right? God gave you a will so that you could choose yes or no, that you are not just dominated by the forces of this world, but you can stand in your intellect, observe, and you can make a choice for good, for God. But God also gave you passions. You have a body. You are body. You are body and soul. And your passions are the way your body communicates to you different needs. Now, in a consumer culture, it is very easy for that pyramid to get twisted or for that order to be reversed. And instead of your intelligence observing the world and through your will, you choose what is best for you. In a consumer culture, what happens? It gets flipped and the passions dominate the show. Rather than you seeing the world and choosing what's best for you, what happens? The passions become this endless hunger for more. And they begin to dominate. That's what happens in the first reading. Here, God is giving the people miraculous food. What do they say? We are disgusted with this wretched food. They have the same thing to eat every day. This manna, this miraculous bread. And they say, we're tired of this. Elsewhere in Numbers, the people of God say, oh, if we could only go back to Egypt to eat the onions and the leeks and the garlic. But here we have no water in this wretched food. So this is symbolic of our temptation to want to go back to Egypt, which represents a place of slavery. Because that's what happens when the passions are at the top of the food chain. So we become enslaved to our desires. Right? And it's not just the food aspect of it. It's like we become slaves to this body, the bodily desires, some of which are legitimate, but when they run the show, everything's upside down, okay? And so, why do people not come to church? Because I don't feel, you know, I'd rather sleep, okay? And some of us need sleep, that's why we have later masses, all right? You can sleep in. But no, if I'm enslaved to this passion for sleep, yes, a legitimate need on the one hand, but out of order, it dominates the stage. If my passions are calling the shots, I'm not going to want to come to church. I'm not going to want to give God time. No, that's me time. Me. I need more of me time. And that comes in other ways, right? You know, you have the choice between prayer and watching your favorite show. Your passion's going to say, no, no, no. You know, God loves you. You don't need to pray. You need to watch TV. You need to watch your show. You need to watch that, right? You can understand where the passions call the shots. And thus, your spiritual life atrophies. Okay. So, what is fasting? Fasting, yes, is recognizing, like, Lord, you've given me an intellect, you've given me a will, you've given me my desires. But, Lord, you invite me to seek first the kingdom of God, not the comforts of the world, that I was made for more. I was made for more than just the comforts the world offers. Okay. And so fasting allows us to kind of put the passions where they are, putting legitimate pleasures in the right place, and recognizing like, I was made for more than just love of self. I was made for love of others. And fasting makes that clearer. Okay. It's not just about me, 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 me. It's the love of others. All right. Okay. Second, fasting allows for intimacy with the Father. In the vision I'm proposing for the parish, threefold, that all parishioners would be secure in the love of the Father, radically connected in the body of Christ, and know that you are gifted by the Holy Spirit. Secure in the Father's love. Every mission starts with the Father. I'm telling you this because to avoid the Christian busyness that doesn't serve God. Where Christians hear, you got to do something, and they go out and get busy, and they get burnt out. Okay? Every true mission starts with the Father. And what does fasting do? Fasting for the purpose of mission, it creates space to meet God. The second reading. Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus chooses communion with you by an act of self-emptying. Jesus chooses communion with you by an act of self-emptying, where he doesn't just stay up in the heavens, where he empties, he humbles himself, coming human in appearance. Fasting with a mission purpose follows in that example, right? Because without that fasting, my life is all, very easily it's about me. It's all about me. It's just like this, my heart, I've mentioned a few weekends ago, my heart becomes cluttered. And there's no space for God. What does fasting do? It literally creates space. You have this hunger, and food is not the only fasting you can do. It could be a fasting from, you know, the show once a week, or, you know, my favorite, whatever, entertainment once a week. But you're creating space. You're creating time for a purpose. And if you do that with love of God or desire to meet God, like you give God room, you give him room. Okay? So fasting is a path of intimacy. Fasting is a path of intimacy. And finally, fasting is a path of co-redemption. Co-redemption. Okay? We hear in the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Okay, how is this the most famous verse in the Bible? Is because you have Christians sharing it. You have Christians sharing this, right? You see it in the wrestling matches, John 3:16. You see it when they're kicking the extra point, John 3:16, right? When they used to lie writing on the face paint, you would see it on the, you know, the face paint, the eye paint for the quarterbacks. They write John 3:16, but then they say, no, we can't do that. So now all the quarterbacks are just putting crosses. It's like, okay. even that aspect, right? We're co-redeemers. Jesus gives us the word. He gives the verse. But how does that word get out? You and me. That's how the word gets out. Christians sharing the good news. What is in fasting is taking it to another level as well. Paul writes in Colossians 1:24-25, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. Again, this is Paul writing. One, I'm rejoicing. Two, I'm rejoicing to unite my sufferings to Christ. Again, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. Now, St. John Paul II asked the big question, what is lacking in the suffering of Christ? Nothing. The answer is nothing. It's complete. It's full. But John Paul goes on to say, but so that you and I can experience the ability to redeem the world with Jesus, he extends us a small particle of his cross. So here's what's happening in fasting, or in any kind of minor bodily discomfort for this, when we unite it to the cross. What we are saying is that, Lord, I want to follow you, not just suffering for the sake of suffering when you say take up your cross, but I recognize, Lord, your cross is love. And for you and me, who a little egotistical, right? The world's a little about me. This kind of love is painful. So the love of the cross, it's only painful because, you know, we have that selfishness in us. Okay. So fasting can be that co-redeeming. It can be uniting this minor suffering for the salvation to make our intentions, honestly, to make them more effective. Jesus says in Mark chapter 9, when they say, how come we can't cast out this demon? He says, this kind comes out with prayer and fasting. So the church has always recognized that, fasting, it kind of ups the ante, so to speak. All right, so three aspects of fasting. Okay. brings your being in just good orderly direction, G-O-D, good orderly direction, brings your being into good orderly direction, right? Fasting, intimacy with the Father, you're creating space. Fasting, uniting my suffering to the cross for love of others. Okay, so which of those three do you want to pray with in this week? Again, we're just, again, the path I'm doing with this homily series, we're going to talk about missional fasting for the next 3 weeks. Then in October, we're going to have promotion and sign up for a parish missional fast that's going to culminate with some event in the near future. But just, you know, right now, we're just praying with this idea of missional fasting. Which of those three you want to pray with? Let's ask the Lord that we may grow in love by reflecting on His great love. Amen.